So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 talks mainly about Holy Spirit and Holy Spirit in our lives and why God gave us Holy Spirit and why he sent us Holy Spirit. So let's read at verse 1 and just kind of go through the chapter. It says, I, brethren, this is Paul talking, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. So he's saying it's not really my words that are important. It's not my excellence of speech. In other words, he was highly educated, I understand. He was a Pharisee, therefore he was highly educated. And he could have used all this, he could have depended on his vocabulary. Now, I'm not that highly educated. So this gives me a lot of hope. I mean, to be honest with you, I only went through 8 grades. I grew up Amish. We didn't go to high school. I wanted to go to high school, but we didn't. So I'm thinking, well, Lord, you called me to preach, but I don't know that much. But it's Holy Guilt. It's Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what kind of words, and I'm probably more simple than some because I don't have the vocabulary that some people have. Are you understanding me?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean Holy Spirit won't use you. We cannot depend on those kind of things. That's what Paul is saying here.
Yes.
He is saying it's not with the excellence of speech or of the wisdom of men. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he wasn't all concerned about, well, you graduated, you know, from college, you did this and you did that and all these things, which are good. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. But we can't put our trust in those things. We put our trust in Holy Spirit when we minister to people. I'm not saying God doesn't use it, because he does. Even the things, you go to college, you graduate from university and so forth, God uses it. I mean, Doc, may I use you as an example, Dr. Joe? Huh? I mean, I'll use my own children as an example as well. I have a son that's a PA. So he needed to get a certain kind of education to be a PA. I have a granddaughter that's a nurse. So she needed to go to school to learn about nursing. Are you hearing me? But when they're used of the Spirit of God, they don't depend on those things, but God uses those things to be a blessing to other people around them. But Paul is saying here that I cannot trust in those things of human wisdom, but I can only trust in Holy Spirit on the inside of me to bring freedom and life to people around us. I'm talking about the life of God. Are you here? I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. Every time I get in the pulpit, I still have an element of that. It doesn't matter how much I know in the Word of God. It doesn't matter how much I went to Bible school and learned all these things. It doesn't matter. I still have a sense of trembling when I get up in front of people. Because I usually think, Lord, if you don't come through here, I'm going to be a fool. Now, nobody wants to be a fool in front of a bunch of people, do we?
No.
So I found out very quickly, I can't trust in my own ability. I can't trust in my own knowledge of the Word of God. I only trust in the Spirit of God.
Yes.
The knowledge of the Word of God is wonderful. And as years go by, you get more confident, of course. You get more confidence. I have more confidence now than I did the first time I stood in front of people. But there's still that element of knowing that in your own power that you can't do it. You can't bring change into people's lives by yourself, because it's Holy Spirit who changes people's lives with the Word of God. I can give you the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit takes that word, and you have to receive it, and he's the one who changes us on the inside. We have a lot of self-help stuff, and I'm not saying it's not good. I'm not saying it can't bring change into your natural life, but for lasting change to be in me or to happen in my life, for lasting change, it's Holy Spirit has to bring the change on the inside. It's all about Holy Spirit, folks, and the Word of God. Amen?
Yes.
Don't go out of here and say that I don't think you should do those things. That's not what I'm saying, and I think you understand that. If you have opportunities, education, things like that, then do it. Then go for it, because God's leading you in that direction. But we can't trust in those things alone. Not when it comes to ministering people and bringing change, spiritual change in our own lives, and also in ministering to people. So then he says, I was with you. I mean, Paul, the great preacher Paul, said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling.
Yes.
Like I said, I grew up an Amish boy, and we had Amish church, and they don't talk about the power of God. They don't talk about the things that we talk about. I appreciate my heritage very much. I don't like all the bondage, but I appreciate the values that we were taught from my heritage.
Amen.
So never put that down if you have good values from your heritage. Amen. I don't know, I'm getting into meddling here a little while, but you know. But I think sometimes we need to give honor where honor is due. So I appreciate my heritage. I had an opportunity one time to do a funeral of an Amish boy that died. He was coming to the worship center, and his parents were Amish, and they asked me to do the funeral. So I could get up there and bash the Amish belief. But why would I do that? And 95% of the people there, if not more, were Amish. So we took it as an opportunity to minister the Word of God to them and not put down their religion. Come on now. Are you here?
Right.
So the Amish preachers get up. When they get up, they say, I am so arm and grink. Ich mein's wer aber schon stolz, dass du kennst besser als mich. You get the interpretation. I'll keep going. No, they really get up and says, I am in fear and trembling. And I think there's, I'm so poor and weak, they say. I mean, many of them say this when they start their sermon. I am so poor and weak, and I think there's somebody else here that could do better. I've often thought, if I was in that service today, I'd probably jump up and says, well, I'll preach. But they go by this scripture. Are you hearing me? And they don't have the confidence in the Holy Ghost. When you have confidence in the Holy Ghost, it creates a boldness on the inside of us.
Yes.
It creates a boldness to preach and teach. It creates a boldness to reach out to people around you. It creates a boldness for you to give the Word of God to that person that's standing in front of you in the love of God. And I tell you, when you follow Holy Ghost in some of those things, you see miracles, you see signs, you see wonders, things happening right before your eyes. And I've told you this before, and I'll say it again and again, the signs, wonders, and miracles, they follow us. They're right there. When Alan goes to Africa, those signs and wonders and miracles, when he prays for somebody, he doesn't have to say, now Lord, please send a miracle. No, it's already there. All he has to do is speak the word of God, and God will confirm his word with signs and wonders and miracles. They're already there. When we prayed for Bill this morning, Bill Wallach, saying his name right, Bill, right? Yes. When we prayed for Bill Wallach this morning, we didn't have to say, well, now, Lord, please come. He's already provided it. And when we were praying, the miracle was already there. It's a matter of us receiving it. All right, let's read on. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration. In demonstration, that's what we're talking about, of the Spirit and of power. We don't depend and trust in our own ability when we minister to people. When we walk in our everyday walk, we need to depend on the Holy Ghost. He is always with us. Even in the little things in everyday life, we can draw on the Holy Spirit. Like when I'm at work sometimes, I also have a business. You know, I've had many opportunities to share with people the gospel. If you want to have some opportunities, then rub shoulders with some people who aren't born again. God will open up a door for you. Amen? But even in the little things, I think I told you before, I'll say it again. I was putting the ceiling in like this. Remember I shared it with you before? And it was a big, I mean, I don't know how many square feet it was. It was a long, with certain kind of lights, and I had to line it up. Because if this ceiling isn't lined up, you know, Steve, the ceiling isn't lined up. It looks horrible when you go to try to put the tile in. And it doesn't look good. This one looks pretty good. I don't know who put it in, but it looks good. And I was struggling with this thing. Finally, I thought, well, yeah, Holy Spirit is in me. So you just talk to him. I said, Holy Spirit, I need your help here. Help me straighten this thing out. 20 minutes, I had it all straightened out. Nice. And that's one of many experiences where Holy Spirit will help you with the details of your life. Amen. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power or the ability of God. Yes. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. You have to remember, the kingdom of God is part of a spiritual kingdom. It is not the physical kingdom that we see and experience every day in our physical walk. The disciples didn't understand that. They thought Jesus came to restore the physical kingdom of Israel, the nation of Israel, because they were under Roman rule. And so they said, Jesus, when are you going to do this? Even after he was resurrected. Right. But it was before they had received the Holy Ghost. Something happened to them. Something changed for them after they received the Holy Ghost. I mean, it just totally had a radical change. All of a sudden, they understood that this was not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. All of a sudden, I can imagine them talking and says, do you remember what Jesus said back there? How could we be so stupid? True. But they weren't stupid. They were just looking at the physical, and they really didn't have the ability to understand the spiritual things because they didn't have Holy Spirit. And that is made clear in this chapter, very clear. Says verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. For none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord. That's talking about the devil and all his demons. I mean, they were dumb. They sealed their own demise when they crucified the Lord. It was all God's plan to bring redemption to you and I. Yes. So that the control of the enemy would be broken over our lives. So that the control of the enemy would be broken over our lives. Amen. It's all because of Jesus. He goes on and he says, they didn't understand it. Now look at this. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love them. How often have you heard this scripture used when somebody couldn't explain what was happening?
That's right.
They couldn't explain what was happening. Maybe something bad was happening. Maybe something good, or something. Most times it's something bad. Well, we just don't understand, because the Bible says, eye has not seen, the ear has not heard. This is from Isaiah 64, verse 4. Now, it is in a setting where it talks about the greatness of God and the depravity of man and the sinfulness of man. It's in that setting. So back under the old covenant, it says, eye has not seen what God is going to do. This almighty God that is outlined there in Isaiah 64, he says, eye has not seen what he's going to do for us. And it's really looking forward to the new covenant when God himself would come and live on the inside of people. That was God's desire from the beginning. From when he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, his desire was to have physical communication with his creation, spiritual and physical. Face to face, walking together as we walk together today. Well, of course, man messed it up. We all know that story, right? But the day is coming that God's desire will be fulfilled. It says that he, that New Jerusalem will come and he will live among his people.
Yes.
But the good news is that we've already got a taste of that, because he created a new covenant. And he says the new covenant, you're going to have the heart. You're going to have the word written on your heart. In other words, your heart's going to be changed. And we live under that new covenant. Therefore, we are in the period where those things are revealed.
Amen.
Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God. Somebody said you always got to find out why the but is there. Especially when it says, but God.
Yeah.
You have to find out what comes after. But God has revealed them. God has revealed them what? The things that I had not seen nor ear heard to this time. God has now revealed them. Isn't that what it says? I'm not just making this up.
That's right.
But God has revealed them unto us through his what? Through his
Spirit.
So if you have the Spirit of God, these things are revealed to you.
Yes. Amen.
I'm about ready to shout or something. I mean, this is good stuff. You might say, well, I've heard it before. I don't care. It's good stuff. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, I know that there are a lot of things we don't understand about God. I know that. I think we're going to be exploring God all throughout eternity. But he has revealed to us concerning our redemption and everything we need to know about our redemption through the Bible. That's why the Bible was written. We know there's things beyond that. But when it comes to our redemption, he says that he knows the deep things of God. So in a sense, those things have been revealed to us, to you. Boy, it gets quiet on that one. Let's go on. It says, yes, the deep things of God. So the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. Then he says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So I say this, that God had a dilemma. Someone come up here, quickly. Someone come up here. Okay, now, someone else, come on, come quickly. Daniel, he has a good name, Daniel. And Alan, now I need one other person. Come on, one other person. Dr. Joe, you stand in the middle, Dr. Joe, and you can be God. So, to illustrate this, so you're a man, but you only understand things about man. That's all. That's all you understand. So you have no ability to understand God in the spirit realm, according to this scripture. You only understand physical things. Then over here we have the Spirit of God, and he understands spiritual things. He understands about God. He understands the deep things of God because he's the Spirit of God. Then we have God, the Father. So somehow he wants to get this man to understand him. So what does he do? He takes his spirit and puts it on the inside of this man. Now this man is different because all of a sudden he understands the things from the Father. And he can comprehend them with his spirit. Now we can't illustrate where the spirit goes into. That's good. I like that. I like that. Thank you. Thank you. But this was God's desire. God has a greater desire to fellowship with you than you do with him. He has a greater desire to reveal things to you than you have to get those things from God. It was always his desire from creation that he was able to communicate and have fellowship with his creation. We are his creation. He has given us his spirit, and he has made a way through Jesus Christ, taken away our sin, so that he can come and live on the inside of us, like it says here. And then we can know him. All right, let's read on. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know.
Yes.
That we might know what? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. I mean, that is so simple. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world inside of me, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to me by God. Freely. He wouldn't have had to put the word freely in. It would still make sense that we might know the things that have been given to us by God. But the word freely explains a little bit about God.
Yes.
He is a generous giver.
Yes.
He is more generous than we will ever be. He has this generosity that he always gives more than enough, always. When they went fishing, what did they do? Got so much fish that the boat almost sank. You can go example after example. When he fed the 5,000, it started with five loaves and two fish. 12 baskets were left over. I don't think they were just little baskets. He always gives more than enough. In fact, his name is El Shaddai. El Shaddai means the God who is more than enough. So don't you ever think that God will shortchange you, because he won't. He'll give you more than you deserve. He'll give you more than you will ever need. Then he goes on, talks about the natural man and so forth. But I want to end with the last couple of verses. It says, verse 15, "But he who is spiritual judges all things," or we could say he understands all things, "or has the ability to make the to know the difference between the spiritual and the natural." The person who has the Spirit of God will let you know. So you can judge situations because of the Spirit of God on the inside of you.
Yes.
Because the Spirit of God will cause the Word to come to you when you face certain circumstances. You have to get it in there. And He will bring it. Jesus said the Spirit will bring things to your remembrance.
That's right.
So when something happens, are you ready? Sometimes we need it in an instant. And if it's in there, it'll come out. The Spirit of God will remind you. And He will help you judge what's happening right in front of you. And you can take action. Living circumspectly. Then he says, in verse 16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord?" Now they would always say, no one. How can you know the mind of the Lord? This comes from Isaiah 40, verse 13. It's in the setting also of how great God is. And saying that He is the Creator. He did this, He did that, and all those things. Then it talks about man. How man knows nothing when it comes to the spirit realm. But then it says that somehow, I'm putting in my own words, somehow God is going to get all this to man. He will cause righteousness to come upon us. And that's where we have the scripture. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, because God is strong.
Amen.
So we say, as a man, we say, we don't know the mind of the Lord. And as a believer, do we still say the same thing?
No.
According to this scripture, but we have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
There's a few things that I don't like when I hear people say it. And one is this, oh, we just can't understand what God's trying to do. Or, well, we don't know the mind of God. I mean, people say that, believers, just in their conversation. But I say we have the mind of Christ. We have an understanding from the Spirit of God. It's not from us and our ability, but it's from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Another thing I don't like when people say is, well, He's in control. And we'll deal with that later. Because He's given us authority. He is in control of certain things overall, but He's given us authority on this earth.
Amen.
We'll preach about that later. And I'm almost sure that Pastor Bill has talked to you about that many times. Amen?
Amen.
So do we have the mind of Christ?
Yes.
Well, then let's act like it. Let's not say, oh, I just don't understand. If we don't understand, let's pray or something. Get into the Word of God and find out what the mind of Christ is. Because the mind of Christ is revealed in here. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what's on the mind of God for you. I have come to give you life and give you life more abundant. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we could go on and talk another hour about the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Maybe we'll do that next week. I'm not sure. We'll wait and see. Amen? Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice at what God has given to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. Lift your voices. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 It took us some time, talking about Kathy and I, it took us some time to get this on the inside of us that became real in our lives. Many of you are there, I know that. But let's get it even stronger. I need to be reminded every day. Because if the Bible says we're supposed to guard things. So we got to guard it. Because we found over the years certain things we learned way back then. We found years later, we kind of left go of it. That's what it means. We need to guard it. Meditate on it again and again. I want to see a congregation, us, this congregation. I want to see us walk in the power of God, not just here. I want to see it when we leave these doors. I want to see it when you're out on your jobs, when you're out among people. I want to see individuals and people who are part of this congregation to walk in the power of God every day in their lives. Thank you, Jesus.